Ben. And now, I'd like to welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, also my man, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Sorry about everything. Well, you were here. I mean, we all thought everything was fine. I am out of practice at being quite so clickably delicious. I'm fine with it. I don't know if anyone was bothering to feel sorry for me, but I'm getting really used to this. And actually, I have a publicist now whose job is to make me less famous. He's a really cool guy. I don't imagine he'd ever come on the show and answer questions about what it means to be Dan Harmon's publicist. I think that would be a really interesting interview.
Can you talk about your Hollywood Reporter photo shoot?
No, I can't because it's technically a joke about that involves a concept that I can't.
Sorry, I've already screwed up. I gotta write a letter.
Comptroller Aaron McGathy. There's no other. Well, let's just. I mean, I think I can beat around that word and not be quotable. And there was like obviously as my publicist, this guy's like he's got his hands full sometimes, and they came to do a photo shoot of me for this article that it's like, Dan's happy and he's humble and he's back and he's happy to be back at work And he was like, yeah, just smile a lot. Don't let him get any pictures of you, you know, frowning or, you know, doing anything other than just smiling a lot. There's no sets at Paramount, you know, like that are up yet. Their construction hasn't begun, but there is one facade that's like, if you're a huge fan of Community, you might know what I'm talking about when I say Borchert Hall. It's across on the Paramount lot from where the library steps usually are, but the library steps aren't there, and so this is the only thing. It's like it's got the Greendale insignia on the door, and it says Borchert Hall at the top, and the photographer told me, yeah, just go through the door and then you're coming in, so you just kind of open the door a little bit and stick your head through. Long story short, very creepy photo. Like, daddy's home and he's been drinking and publicist face just purple. Yeah, but I remember I had brought him on for a while in season, I don't know, was it 2 or 3 or something like that, because I actually felt like well, if people want to do interviews with me and stuff, it can help get ratings for the show. Like, it's a form of promotion if I bring him on out of pocket and stuff. So originally his job was to help me be famous. I think that's generally what a publicist's job was. They'd probably say it's more nuanced than that. But and also just get me Comic-Con badges or something. Like I don't know. He's just a handy guy to have around. And then I let him go after a while because I was like, well, okay, no one's ever going to watch the show no matter what. And also I got fired and blah, blah, blah. I was like, you can take some time off. Cool your jets. But I brought him back on to like actually just help me. God, save me from myself. Anyways, it is a funny thing. This new phenomenon, it's called context. It's a weird, weird thing. Like I've said many times, this is my therapy. Like, I have enough voices bouncing around in my head to deal with. I don't want my own in there too. So when I say the stuff that's in my head into a microphone and people laugh or even just sit there and don't stab me, it's done. It's finished. It's dealt with. And
go on.
And so every once in a while, from this crucible, this 60-episode run of this online diary that I'm keeping called Harmontown, this like little magma drop of Harmon-ness like flies out and lands in the Shire and just bursts everything into flames. And you realize, oh God, I mean, yeah, guess what? Everybody that that was hurt or anything like that, I guarantee you that when I want to speak to you in the form of a headline in Variety, like I'll say much nicer things like than I do to my bathroom mirror or here or stuff like that. And I'm not excusing anything. I just wanted to make that clear. Like why do these things happen? You know, like language is important to me too. I'm a writer, definitely, but I improvise when I'm up here, and I've said some really horrible things. Anybody wants to really, really like hate me, like go through. I don't know if you'll. I mean, I don't know what'll happen to you. I've never listened to all of it either, but it's there. I am here for you. I am on Twitter. I blog my apologies when I do things wrong. I do the Reddit AMAs. I like being in touch with people. I think the big takeaway from this latest debacle for me emotionally was I gotta somehow figure out at the age of 40 how to stop caring so much what about people's opinion of me, because I think that the reason I do what I do, I know that the reason I do what I do is to make people like me, and I'm very comfortable with the idea that what you're supposed to like is the thing that I make. So there's nothing inappropriate or wrong way rubbing about an episode of my NBC sitcom. It is, and there's nothing dishonest about it either. It is an actual genuine Valentine to humanity that I have time to prepare and polish and put on my little bow tie and show up to your door with flowers and candy. That's me at my best for you in that context, so that you will go, oh, I feel happy right now. Who made me happy? Oh, it says created by so-and-so. Oh, he must be a good person. And I guess I gotta cop to the fact that I never will be. I guess nobody's a good person, and if Steve Levitan doesn't have like a show where he just like babbles into a microphone with a cup of vodka and that is why he is a better person than me and will die richer and have higher ratings and be more successful. God, he's so handsome, too. Have you ever seen a photo of... Google Steve Levitan. It's obnoxious. Like he's so good-looking. So anyways, I happened just by pure circumstance, and I thought, you know, just as Spencer showing up and saying, I want to be a dungeon master, like, Harmontown kind of runs on coincidences and mysticism and shamanic like events. I was at a bar. That is not an unusual event. That's just statistics. I was at a bar and ran into friends of our producer Dusty Samples, Dustin Marshall, and these two adorable little kids. They're from this band called Mars Argo, and they just recently. I mean, they're great, and they I assume I have horrible taste in music, but they just recently did this thing where they did a song. I think it was called Don't Call Me. Is that the name of the song?
Yes.
Okay. It's based on a sample of the iPhone ringtone marimba that we all know. Like when you hear the song for the first 8 seconds, you're checking your pockets and it's like a baby crying on an airplane for that 8 seconds, because it's a song about a guy that won't stop calling and it fits, and after a while you stop hearing that and just hear like a really nice song, and it doesn't matter if it's a good song or bad song. The interesting thing is that because it uses that iPhone sample, all of a sudden, much as sometimes a Harmontown droplet lands in the headlines of Variety, and all of a sudden I'm being compared to Charlie Sheen by society. When I'm a writer. These guys, because of this iPhone hook, you know, it's all of a sudden it's just a thing. It's got I'll be an old fogey and say it went viral. It was like in the technology section of this thing, and the Apple lovers section of this thing, and the what's going on section of this and that, and it was virality happened, and as a result they suddenly found themselves as very emotional, wonderful, passionate musicians, in something that's become increasingly familiar to me, which is being under this the microscope is this giant blob called people who don't normally give a fuck about you. And let's continue the conversation with them on stage. Please welcome Titanic Sinclair and Mars Argo of Mars Argo.
Hey.
Hello. I'm kind of short, so...
That's good. That's good these days.
I wear shorts, too.
Short is the new tall.
Cute matching hats, guys. Damn,
it was unplanned.
We're dinkies.
So describe... The reason I called you guys... I asked you guys if you would come here is because I ran into Titanic. It's a stage name.
Because of the death threats.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mars was not there, and you were looking kind of you were chill. I won't say sullen. Mm-hmm. Your emo had an extra genuine emo to it. Something there, and immediately in a short conversation, it turned out. Mars was at home, unable to really go out because of the response in the comment sections under these videos that are being posted. Right, that's the.
I'm also actually sick, but yeah, I think maybe the whole thing kind of threw me over a little bit.
Probably lowered your immune system. Like my cat's living with a dog now. I think she has FIV. I'm worried that she's going to die at any moment because I think that T cells, like, you know, I think they're linked to your emotional health.
So Dan's saying that he thinks you're going to die at any moment.
Maybe.
So I don't know where to start. And by the way, I'm a horrible interviewer, so deal with it. But do you have in your head an example of like a comment that really got you, like that made you unable to leave your home?
What an ugly singer.
No.
What an ugly voice.
Yeah, no.
Which is almost worse than what an ugly singer.
I guarantee you we've been threatened with die in a fire more than anyone else.
Yeah,
like, ever.
Or if you burn in a fire, I hope you...
Because like we have like a YouTube channel. It's called GroceryBag.TV if anyone's interested. And it's like we like poke fun at social commentary and stuff. And so people like consistently, you know, tell us to die in a fire. So I'm used to that, but this kind of spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
Like I knew like we were like getting ourselves into trouble by using the iPhone song to begin with.
Right.
But I had no idea it was going to be like so intense.
You thought it would be critical trouble. Like you were used to a certain context. Like I am here. Like you knew that something you did, as most artists are required to do, was going to be hit or miss and have some polarizing effect. But you were, I think that not to put words in your mouth, but like the effect of all of a sudden this whole new audience called just people who don't. They're just reacting to something random. They just see a headline that has nothing to do with that. That was the big trouble that I got into, because I came out here and I reacted to the boohoo for me sensation of watching a season of the show that I hadn't watched the entire time it was without me, and I just kind of came out here and was like just without thinking about any kind of context or who was listening except for these 150 people and anyone that listens to a podcast about me, and therefore like why would someone that hated me and didn't care what I had to say, like blah blah blah, I just kind of didn't think and just spoke, but then immediately, and it's like why wouldn't I like this headline just goes like this, Dan Harmon says this in the has a headline, it's like no, that was not a headline, that wasn't a press conference, and now the horrible thing is you have people who even if they are horrible people, they're not even like really to blame for the fact that like if you're surfing through the internet and a thing says under sports and weather, it says band makes song out of a ringtone, and then they click on it, and then they watch the thing, and it's like I don't know what makes them go as far. I've never done that before. I have never left a comment that I thought would make someone want to kill themselves.
Yeah.
I have to assume, given my as a student of human character, I have to assume that the reason people do that is because they don't believe it's possible. They don't. They it's like shooting a slingshot at the moon. You know, they're just going like, "Hey, why don't you kill yourself? You stupid, ugly person with a horrible voice. This is a terrible song. Your band sucks." Blah blah. They're just thinking like, "Well, they'll never listen to old Toby Simmons."
Yeah.
But the irony is that you guys are Toby Simmons. You're just a band from Detroit that is out in Hollywood, and you just look like, it's not like, and everyone is Toby Simmons. Like every we are now all in contact with each other. Do you guys, what band was that like got in that airplane accident, and they were like, was it, one of them was like rolling out of the plane on fire?
Wasn't
and
it the
Blink 182 guy?
Yeah. So of course, because it's Blink 182. Like, yeah, well, it's okay for them to burn to death. Like people are just leaving comments. Like, I forgot. People are now going to publish transcripts of my podcast.
Dan Harmon says.
Do you please put some brackets in there that I was being ironic? And put brackets behind everything that says I'm a human fucking being. Don't publish transcripts of podcasts. It's all free. It's all online. Like anyways. He said winkingly, "It's okay for Blink 182 to be on fire, right? Because they don't deserve anything that they have, and blah 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 blah." And so, like, the people are saying, they're saying, you're saying, like, they're threatening you, saying die by fire. You're actually used to that. Bands die in fires a lot. Like, it happens. Like, that's an issue. More bands than lion tamers. Lion tamers get sometimes bit by lions. Like, that would be rude to like leave under Siegfried and Roy's like YouTube channel. Like, go like, "Oh, I hope you get bit by a lion." Mean. talk about like being at home like that night. Well, I was at the drawing room. What did you physically do? Like, because I know. Well, actually, I don't know. Did you sit there and troll through all the comments? You scroll through.
Well, it's weird because it started on Reddit, and usually, like a lot of our stuff gets posted on Reddit, and like I use Reddit like crazy, so it's usually pretty friendly. But I could tell right off the bat from like the first couple of comments, like, it wasn't going to be good. And then, I don't know, like,
I read a couple, and it was like, you know, the general consensus was, this is annoying, her voice is annoying, and, like, you get to a point where it's, like, every single comment, and then the views start going up, and then you're just like, I'm just going to stop reading these now.
Yeah, but no, but I keep reading them like an idiot, you know?
Did you get to the point, I don't know if you're able to answer this question, have you gotten to the point where you wish that the song didn't exist? Do you wish that you hadn't created something?
I don't know. I mean, like, when we tracked that, like, you know, we had two engineers that bailed on us, like, right when we were tracking it. And, like, so I knew, like...
What do you mean by that?
Just, like, when we were actually shooting the thing, like, you know, we're doing this on a shoestring. And, like, two engineers that agreed to do it didn't show up on the day of the shoot. And then we had issues with, like, camera stuff and everything. So, like, I knew, like, before I released it that it wasn't, like... my favorite thing, or like it wasn't the best vocal take, or maybe it wasn't the best mix or whatever, but at the same time I'm like, whatever, you know, like,
but your job as an artist is to
just like put it out there, you know,
and take off the top of your head, hold a piece of paper to it, get as accurate a print of you, of who you are during your limited time on this planet, and get it out there.
And so I did. I was like uncomfortable, but I was just like, all right, there you go. And then it was just like, you know, a bunch of like old men like talking shit to me, basically.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like,
it was weird.
People always say like there's no such thing as bad press, but I don't think that the people who say that have ever gotten an email that no subject and the body of the email is just kill yourself.
Jesus.
You know, okay. Several of these.
That's so terrible.
You know, it's like, all right, like,
how did you guys process that as a couple?
Like,
was there a lot of
he went out and drank, and I got really sick, and I'm still sick. I don't know.
Yeah,
no, I mean, I'm sure I was sick anyway, but like, whatever. I don't know.
But so you say yourself, like, because this is something that's been happening to me over the last 2 days, and I'm used to it. I know that it takes a week for my horrible clumsy footprints to get snowed over,
yeah.
And I can safely go maybe take a peek into Tumblr without seeing a photo of me looking like I just sexually assaulted a woman. the hand-picked from God knows where, someone who's become ironically my biggest fan in order to find that picture. The weird thing is, because I don't know what's healthy and unhealthy, you love being on Reddit. You go through it, and you're not just Reddit looking for your own name and looking at your own subreddit and things.
Right.
But now you're on Reddit, and like now all of a sudden this thing that's a big part of your life is like. Like, I would assume, or are you ghoulishly, self-loathingly, like, scouring that stuff?
I mean, there's, like, a certain amount of, like, ego that, like, when tens of thousands of people are, like, looking at something that you made, it feels good, even if it's, like, people are shitting on it. But, I don't know, it just makes you kind of question humanity, like, who takes the time to, like, even though it's, like, so easy to click on the YouTube comment and leave something shitty, but like who like actually puts that energy into it? Although I guess thinking about it now, like I was telling you, like I was like translating Russian,
right?
Because like someone leaves a comment on your video and it's in Russian, you're like, I know this is gonna be bad, but I'm still gonna Google translate it. You know, and of course it was like something along the lines of "you fucking suck."
And, yeah. You know. In Russia, bad band kills yeah. you. That's another weird thing when you are scrolling through things. I know it's the weirdest thing. Like people, I will skim through people being supportive,
yeah,
people being kind, people saying a nice thing, and this is under normal circumstances. Like when I say something scandalous, I can't really go near it, and maybe that's the healthiest thing that a habit that I've picked up but. In olden times, when I was just a regular nobody that like kind of like was excited about maybe someone talking about me once in a while, I like anything that I was involved in, I'd scroll through and I was like, you know, this is great. Phrases like this is so I'm part of the problem too. Like I have to be honest about that, right? Like I, even though that's a thing that's only happening in my secret part of my brain, I'm not taking any action about that, but. When people tweet me and try to be obnoxious and say something mean to me to get my attention, and then I say like, "Hey, why don't you go fuck yourself? You're a poop face. You know,
right.
Like you're dumb and you're wrong and you're an idiot and I'm made of rubber and your mom's an idiot." and then they go like, "Ooh, got a rise out of you," and you go like, "Yeah, you did. Fuck, you still eat poop. I mean, it's like, take your rise out of me and the poop that you eat and see what it adds up to. I don't know." And they're like, "Look, man, just kidding. I'm just a big fan. I just knew that if I kissed your ass, it wouldn't be, you know, like that's not how it's like." Some people say that, or then other people will go like, "Look, you should like I'm sorry, I'm just not another sycophantic fan person." I really want those people to die in a fire. Like I don't really, for the transcript, I'm just trying. Put the laughs in the transcript.
That's smart. Yeah.
It's a transcript of a live show with an audience. Put the laughs in. That's important. It's like just reading Eminem lyrics on CNN, you know, like it's just like it's always gonna sound bad, man. Like I am not an appealing man. Shit. I lost my train of thought. You guys don't want me to regain my train of thought because I was on some stupid tangent that was taking forever.
You were talking about looking for the negative.
Yes, good comptrolling, yes. Yes, if when I was doing stand-up before I quit, if there was one person standing in the back of the room going like this, like I can't keep my eye off of them. I don't know, when you guys do live gigs, do you pay attention to how people are reacting to you in the back of the room?
I used to. I just look at my guitar now.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. I mean, we've only played 3 shows here in L.A., but it's been like super positive for the most part.
And we're in the Midwest. People fucking hated us.
Yeah, people really, like people just like walk out on us. But we're like, you know, everyone has beards and wearing flannel shirts. and we're like, they have angel wings and leopard print and sparkles. So, I mean, it makes sense. But, yeah, for the most part, it's been, like, super positive. And then that was kind of the weird thing is this video was kind of, like, showcasing my new band and, like,
we're all fired up. We're like, yeah, check this out, man.
Really happy about it. And then we put it online where, like, slam, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, the cool thing is that people had such a big reaction to it. It didn't disappear.
It's so strange. Like, the, like, never previously in, like, humanity has a person or a poor little girl like had to deal
on my own. I'm not that poor.
Like no one's ever had to deal with that amount of like these little, like, I think Duncan Trussell calls them moments of novelty, like these tiny right. little, and like when they're just like constantly coming at you, and it's like you cannot, I don't care who you are, you cannot stop yourself when your phone's buzzing like crazy. You cannot stop yourself from reading it.
Right.
You just can't. And so,
I mean, I have been able to now. I just don't do it. But that's because I have done this 5 times now, at least. Like I just. It's always my 40 years and counting now. Just like God telling me to say stuff. Everyone telling me to shut up. me saying, but God said it, and then absolutely regretting saying that. I'm just trying to say how I feel, because if I don't say anything, like I'm no good to anybody, and whether it's typing things or saying things, so like, but I've been anyways, that's a dumb tangent, but I did want to say to you guys, because I mean, you're virtual strangers to me, and I just thought the story was so interesting, because it kind of like it was just a similar thing was happening to me, and that's like around the theme of this phenomenon, which is there's no heroes or villains in the story. It's just it's like the weather changing. It's like global warming. This is a thing that's happening now. We are all connected to each other, and thank God there's no FCC like channeling the whole thing through one little tiny thing, because then we'd all just be watching 75-year-old David Hasselhoff read bedtime stories right. on the internet, like, and he'd still be in a scandal once in a while, but he'd be trained to handle it or whatever. But like, thank God the gates are open, and we're all rushing together in this big throng. But just as like when you go to a crowded like music hall and see a band that has a high tempo, there's always some dick in the audience that starts elbowing, and you know, like I the anonymity and the frustration of not having control over your own life makes tiny parts of tiny individuals do these things that when added all up create this dandruff that can choke you and make you feel ugly about everything. But first of all, there's not a single individual. I truly don't believe that there's a single whole individual out there that actually is that ugly. I think that I think we just use the internet as a weird eyes wide shut toilet, like because it's this syndrome. Because the more highly visible you are, and by the way, we're supposed to telling high school kids it gets better. Like, are you supposed to tell that to Rebecca Black? It gets better. Somebody you're gonna have 45-year-old men telling you you're a shitty singer, it gets better.
Yeah.
She knows it doesn't get better. Hopefully, it does get better. But it's like, man, I'm all over the place.
You learned
but
how to handle it better.
You know, I didn't.
What I
wanted to say to you guys is I clicked on your thing. I watched the video. I'm like, oh, cool song. Sounds like my phone's ringing for a second. Awesome idea. Reading the comments, it's like, they were all so pointless to me, because I'm absolutely outside the situation. There's nothing personal about it for me. Like I scoured because I wanted to talk to you guys about, oh, what's the worst one? And like I can see that if someone's saying stupid idea, bad music, singers, ugly, voice and face. Turn your hat around. Stop singing forever and cut yourself in your face, and it'll look better because your face is worse than a cut face. Like, to you, it's like, like I can say that and they can laugh because they know it's a joke and I know it's a joke to those those concepts. You're seeing it from some anonymous stranger, and the only difference is you're projecting onto it like oh shit, like what if they really mean that? And it's like they don't. They're just in a sad part of their life, like just having some weird moment of weakness, and they don't. None of it's true. None of it means anything. They're literally trying to make you feel exactly how you feel. There's almost an uplifting thing about that. It's still possible for us to touch each other. we're just doing it. We're using glory holes to put. We're putting spears through them. It's a misuse of the technology. Like, it's clear what we should be doing, and how we could all benefit.
Headline.
There's multiple levels though of how fucked up it is though, because like, I mean, once you've read like literally thousands and thousands of people like telling you to kill yourself, like. You now every time you read one, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever. But then sometimes you like click the user and you actually see the person, and now like YouTube shows like a photo a lot of times. But that's the part that kind of upsets me, because then I see the person and I'm like, whoa, like that is a human being, and they in their free time are shitting on something that I'm doing for fun with my friends.
But you know the great thing about that is you can further click on them and see the comments they're leaving, and you can see the mental state that they're in.
Well, that's we like picked a couple of them out, and we're just like, wow, they're doing it. At least it's not just me, but I don't know.
Well, you showed me because I was upset.
Yeah, I mean it's like when you're like any type of creative profession, like as you know, like the last thing you need is someone saying stop, because everyone along the way in our lives has said
you don't need another
reason.
Yeah, and everything in your head says stop, because
exactly. You
don't need another reason to be more critical of yourself.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, will you guys do me a huge, huge favor, and all of society a huge favor, and use the emotional experience of being told to stop by people that don't really mean stop to create more songs about how it feels to be told to stop or something? Because if enough of us start doing that, if enough of us make humanity boring enough to other people, maybe with the parts of us that hate ourselves, I think that a lot of us have to get up in the morning and go to bed at night never having told the truth. I think that it's a lot of times it's not their fault either. And I think that you guys and me, like, we're in the unique position to be able to, you know, we can tell the truth about how we feel and just say weird shit and let the chips fall where they may. And we kind of have to keep doing it. So otherwise, like, if we stop, then 9/11 happens again. And you can quote me on that. Vulture.com. Do you guys have anything to promote or anything? You want anyone to know about anything you're doing? You're just plucking your little guitars and singing your hearts out.
Yeah. I don't know. You can check out our YouTube channel. I think it's pretty cool. It's called groceryback.tv.
We have a YouTube channel. We do these things called computer shows.
Yeah.
And it's on groceryback.tv.
All right. Awesome. Mars Argo, thank him for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of us spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes, is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton and Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like a little... Like, you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tit house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, there's different levels of Mexican tit house. I mean, there's the high-quality ones, there's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas Fantasticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit house?
Yeah.
Que Fantastico.
Fulton & Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house, it's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right, and I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonAndRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
It's a good song. I like the refrain. I like her voice. I you know, you were not born yet, but in the 90s, I was a... As you have discovered, I was a big fan of the female, kind of very emotional, passionate Tanya Donnelly's.
I like that you touch your chest as if to mime breath.
I am miming passion coming out. I'm not miming boobs. I was a big fan
Dave,
of Tanya Donnelly and Throwing Muses and Tori Amos, and I'm just cupping my breasts. I like pain. I like
You like feminine pain?
Oh God, yes.
Oh God, no.
Yes, good one. Nice.
Don't worry, I'll write a letter apologizing for you.
I like it. It's pretty hard for a guy to have my number vocally in a song. I find.
Yeah, I like being upstairs working on something and hearing the cranberries echo throughout the house and come down and see you in a bubble bath. It's nice. You are very sensitive. You're not very macho at all. It's nice. It's like having a sister. It is funny thinking about like our gender roles in our relationship, because
our kind genitals, of
like, our gender roles,
oh,
or
gender
our roles. I'm kind of the handyman.
Well, I took off that door that one time while you sat at the bar and told me I couldn't, because it was, as you said, a two-man job. So I guess I'm sometimes pretty manly. I'm as manly as two men by your definition. I did a two-man job.
I was really impressed by that. Also really impressed by the doggy gate that you put at the top of the stairs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think there was a big sheet of instructions that came with that. It was like...
Did you look at them, or did you...
Of course. Oh. No, I followed them.
Good. That's so nice.
You know, first I issued a press release about how the company that made the doggy gate was a bunch of blood-sucking rich assholes. but then one of them emailed me and said his feelings were hurt, so I installed the doggy gate. I eventually do what I'm supposed to do, and humanity benefits.
I like that. I like that you read the directions. I've had a couple of handyman over to the house when you haven't been there to set up different things around the house, and they all there have been like three of them. There was Chad, Brock, and Nick. Well, all those
Joel.
Why Joel? Oh, Joel McHale. Oh, well, that's interesting.
I think that guy just has a similar fantasy of just calling out. Like, he's just like, make this perfect for me. make it my high school math teacher. Don't stop. Don't stop just short of what
these I are. These are TaskRabbits. Has anyone used TaskRabbit or know what TaskRabbit is? All right, well.
TaskRabbit is the Grubhub of indentured servitude.
Well, and I've had some guys come over and help me put together furniture and stuff, and each and every one of them has made a show out of, like, these directions, no good, and thrown them to the side. I'm like, all right, well.
I mean, I agree. They're very confusing, but those guys are above them. I'm below them. I'm like, these directions be no good.
Well, you know, John the handyman, I asked him if he could take your gate off that you installed. And he was working on it for like a half hour. He's like, I don't know how he did it, but I cannot get it off.
He said, well, he's the one that's a community fan, right? He was probably, yeah. He was like, did Dan Harmon install this gate? I'm sorry, I can't. I just, something about it. Like, I just like the way it feels. It has more heart.
Oh my God, Dan, do you know what time it is?
It's 8:52.
It's game corner time. Can we get Kumail Nanjiani on the stage?
Kumail
hails from beautiful Pakistan, where
Kumail call.
What did you say? Kumail call?
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, you know, I've never heard that.
I've heard you've got Kumail, which...
Oh, nice. That's better.
It's pretty great.
Have you ever heard you had me at Kumail? That doesn't make any sense.
No. Go ahead, make my Kumail. I haven't heard that.
You're going off the Kumails?
Yeah, exactly.
Get off my Kumail plane?
Nope. No. Get off my Kumail plane?
We're going to need a bigger Kumail boat?
Yep, that I have heard.
Oh, weird. A Jaws con.
I was in a weird Jaws situation.
When you're sick, do you have a Kumailant? A Kumail? Welcome to the game!
A Kumailment? I have to say, I want to say a couple of things, but should we do the game first?
Oh, no, you can say a couple of things.
Let the game talk. It's
do you mind if I put some music underneath it? No, I shouldn't.
I wanted to read this because, first of all, can I say something, Dan? You're talking about Steve Levitan being handsome, and he's a very handsome man. You look fucking great these days.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
It looks, that jacket has like a fun Top Gun vibe to it, you know? It looks, yeah.
Well, I finally learned after 40 years that I need to never just wear a t-shirt because my posture is so bad. I'm like a circus bear. Like, especially viewed in profile. Like, I really need to, but go on.
But no. You look great. You're Peter Jacksoning right now. That's a good thing. Because he
shot in New Zealand.
Yeah, now he wears shoes and everything.
Yeah.
There was a long time where he wasn't wearing shoes.
I told you this. I think I told the story on this show when I went to Comic-Con and the Workaholics guys, very funny guys.
Yeah, they're great.
I was talking to them for a while, and then people were gathered around us. And they walked away after a while. You know, it's like conversations kind of ebb and flow. They left the conversation circle, and I was stuck with like some other people. And this one guy just was like really enamored with me, and started asking me more and more specific questions about when I shoot like stuff, like what I'm thinking. And I was like really flattered by it, and like wow, you know, I just try. Hey, at the end of the day, it's just stuff, you know. and then he started asking about New Zealand and.
Oh, no!
And I went, like, I've never been to New Zealand. And he went, like, yeah, you have.
You have an American accent.
I, like,
so many clues.
And he went, you've never been to New Zealand. And I said, no. And then he looked, and then just his face, like, contorted into anger. I felt anger at me, pointed at the giggling workaholic guys on the other side of the party and said, those guys told me you were Peter Jackson. Which is, I mean, I'm not usually a fan of practical joke humor.
That's a good one.
That's funny shit, man. I will forever remember them.
Yeah.
the furniture thing, I have, I'm like not handy at all also, but I have this thing like if I get started on something, Emily is not handy either, so we both are not handy.
I'm not going to hurt anyone.
No. I was going to whatever that, what's it, something rabbits? What are they called? The people that come and fix it?
Oh, the task rabbits. I see.
The Joels and the Chads of the world?
Yes. Joel, Chad, Nick.
So I got this, we got this awesome desk and put it together, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking finish this today. And I got so like worked up trying to finish this. This is completely true. Emily walked in 2 hours later and I was completely naked, sweating from everywhere, just like punching a board. Because I got so, I'm like, I'm physically bigger than it. I should be able to have power over it.
I did that too. I was trying to move a chair through a door, and that's why I got in this big fight with Erin. She was like, "That's a two-man job. You need to take that door off. That's a two-man job." And it was like, you know, I just got.
That's like
there.
You're like,
I was
you know,
like practically naked too, because yeah. Like, you're just sweating, and you just, I was like, one thing I can control is stupid clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, to you, two-man job is like Marty McFly's chicken, you know. Like if you hear two-man job.
God damn it! Can I tell you, this is eating away at me. Okay.
Oh my god! I
took the closet door off the hinges. It was lighter and easier to get off. It was a two-man job. The door that you said. I figured out a different door I could take off that was not so much a two-man job. But the principle of the thing is,
you know,
you
what?
Didn't believe in me.
Yeah. You know what? I guess turns out coming clean is a one-man job.
I was literally about to say, he moved a very heavy door and put it back on its hinges perfectly, which is amazing. That's
slightly
so
lighter door.
But you know
that.
What? He figured out how to get around it. And isn't that just as important?
In a zombie apocalypse, there's going to be the guy with the eye patch that's creepy and has like fish tanks full of heads and stuff. But
well,
you want to stick with the old, who am I in Walking
well, then
Dead?
I
think I'm the old man that lost his leg.
Yep.
I have something to say about the handyman, Nick and Joel. And
I have something to tell you about all those nanny cams.
What?
That's why we're getting free labor.
This whole thing, everyone's winning.
Everyone's winning. Boy. I was gonna say, so you guys were talking about like feedback online, and I've talked about how like I always get like racist stuff on Twitter, and the thing that a lot of people say, I think I've mentioned it here, people say like, go back to India, and I always say, I've never been there, I'm not Indian, are you just wishing like an awesome vacation for me? But this one, I want to read this one tweet I got yesterday because I was tweeting about Paula Deen.
I'm sorry. Why do they want you to go back to India? Do they want your job that you're taking? Are you welding cars?
If I say anything political, they'll be like, go back to India.
Oh, okay.
So yesterday I was tweeting about Paula Deen. Well, just from my picture, they were like, all right, that's what an Indian guy looks like. That is what it is. I'm very easily Googleable. There's not many other Kumail Nanjianis who are from India to, like, confuse them. I'm just saying, if you're being racist, fucking be accurate.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like...
But I got this one because I was tweeting about Paula Deen yesterday because I genuinely think she's a bad person. I want to read this because it's the most densely racist thing that I've ever read in so few letters. This is what he says. So I was tweeting about her being racist and he says, "Unfortunate, but every race has rampant racism permeating their cultures." Now this sentence is my favorite. This is what he says. "Indians are very racist to others." I'll tell you why I love this. One, he calls me Indian when I'm Pakistani. So already, the first word, he's already racist. Also, if the purest form of racism is attributing a characteristic to a race because they're a certain race. So him saying Indians are very racist to others, he's being purely racist while using the word racist. It's like a Mobius strip of racism.
He's the Charlie Kaufman of racism.
Yeah. It's so good.
I do think a lot of problems could be solved if we did just decide whether it's true or not. But let's just break the cycle and just say, okay, white people are more racist genetically. just stop the conversation. Just go, okay, all right, we found the problem.
Yeah.
Like white people have a gene for racism. And then we can all go, oh, because even if that's not true, we can use that as an excuse to just like stop the cycle, like the weird spiraling argument. Because, the problem is like a 14-year-old white girl like in line at the mall that has some weird culture clash moment. She's 14. She doesn't have the geopolitical fucking backbone to like and the experience to deal with all this stuff. She's gonna say something equally like weird and stuff, but she's white, so she's gonna say something horribly racist in defense of her ego, which all 14-year-olds have.
Yeah.
So like if we all just like passed a law that said, okay, we decided, we found it, we found the racist gene, white people have it.
And you're gonna be like, that's our struggle, white people struggle.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be racist.
And then
we have to overcome it.
And you can be like, it's like your sickle cell anemia. See, we're doing it again.
You get it. Yes. Like it would all solve itself.
You know how you smell like curry? See, we can't help it.
Because you know what we're doing right now? We're doing almost the opposite with the diversity movement. And please don't misinterpret this. Like I think, like for instance, NBC's diversity program. I've said many times.
I get so many emails from them, and I never signed up for it. I don't know how this happened.
It's okay. Like I think that pro action in a climate where obviously there is a long-standing momentum of things not getting done. I don't think that scientifically this thing's better than the other, but I think doing anything at all is better than doing nothing. And so I want to be very clear about that. I'm not one of these people that's like, ugh, affirmative action is reverse racism. It's dumb. But I just want to point out one thing.
To be clear, you're not saying affirmative action is dumb. You're saying that that is dumb. Right?
Yes. Did I? Oh God.
No.
Jesus. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Can you just walk around with me?
It would be like
I was going to say in a backpack, but then people would go.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon tells a Pakistani guy to be in his backpack. Yeah. Here's the transcript.
Yeah. He gave me 3 wishes.
I wish for 1,000 Pakistanis.
That's our fucking...
That's my white gene. I'm inscrupulous.
Can we go?
Because I could see the quote from that would be affirmative action ellipses dumb.
Yeah, of course. No. That's I'm not one of those those libertarian kind of white guys that's like oh, like
yeah,
I don't think that Spock-like logic in the face of a huge legacy and momentum of disproportionality in certain job spaces is the solution.
Sure.
I think that some of the solutions are not going to be logical. They're going to be like, everybody stand on this side of the boat, like to try to counteract some of this stuff.
Sure.
That being said, I wanted to make the coy cutesy observation that I think the driving force behind the concept of diversity, like the diversity movement, if you could call it that, like it, is it me, or is there like is there a way to interpret all of this? Like the subtle implication is that only white people have the power to end racism.
Well, I mean, here's why that is sort of a thing that's implied, is because white people, because racism is all about, and all bigotry, it's about sort of power differentials, right? And so that's why, a black person being racist against a white person is not as harmful, really, as a white person being racist against a black person, because white people have power. So because white people in America have the power, that's why it's usually sort of not the job of white people, but they're the ones who I think can affect the most change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And right now it's like a little in the absence of just saying, I maybe it's cartoonish. I'm probably not being serious, but honestly, if a scientist can pretend that brontosaurus has existed, man, just like use that power. Like one scientist go, like, I found the racism gene. I found a gene in the Caucasoid bloodstream. Yeah. It makes you just a tad more racist.
Yeah.
So you, in order to counteract it, you have to force your poor racist white blood to be a little less racist. It's a struggle that you have. Yeah, I'm beating a dead horse, but
All right. No, I think that's good. I like that idea. We should get one guy, have proof, and then his lab burns down and he dies and he's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
For ending racism.
Yeah. This would be a great, like, yeah, Pelican Brief kind of.
We've done it. Thanks for coming to Harmontown.
All right, let's play this.
What's this game? Yeah, I'm excited.
What's this game,
Aaron? Aaron has a gene for game playing.
Can I bring Spencer to the stage, please?
Spencer Crittenden!
Hailing from the city near Los Angeles, Spencer's favorite time is bedtime. All right.
What?
That timing was perfect. That was amazing.
All right, so we're gonna play a little game. It's going to be Dan against Kumail. And it's not necessary to this game, but it may enhance it. Can I have Adam Goldberg come to the stage?
Wait, his presence is going to enhance
controversial
something?
Figure, Adam Goldberg.
Now I've heard everything.
How's it going, buddy?
How do you do it, Adam?
Thank you, Adam. I always want to not, you know, and then you say something nice, I'm like, all right, thanks.
Yeah.
So this last week was Spencer's first week as your assistant.
All right, yeah.
Which I know.
And he's amazing. He's great.
Yeah, I've heard from both sides that it's going really well. Spencer's having a great time, and Spencer's doing great. And
Spencer sits in the writer's room and stares at me like a falcon. and I at one point I needed to sit down. Two times this has happened.
Yeah, two.
Because I'm standing there talking to the writers, and we have a huge writing staff this year. Because I was like, "There's no chair," and I became conscious of my need for my fat butt to be supported by something. And this Viking man bounded up with a heavy chair and plopped it down. And the writers were really impressed.
They applauded.
Yeah, they did. They applauded. That's assisting someone when you get applause for it.
So it sounds like Spencer knows you very well and is anticipating your whims, but how well do you know Spencer?
Ooh.
We're going to play a little game.
No! You're in my world, Kumail.
We're going to play a little, and Adam, for those of you who don't know, if you're just listening to this podcast for the first time, or if you're here from Variety or The Hollywood Reporter, Adam Goldberg is a controversial Harmontown audience member, tenacious.
Lightning rod.
Lightning rod is weird because it's not the rod's fault that it's happening. The rod is not bringing it upon itself.
This game is I really don't like when other men refer to me as the rod.
Whatever.
So we're going to play a little game called Spencer or Adam.
Oh boy!
All right.
I will just say there was a guy when we were handing out cupcakes, there was a guy that was so obviously a entertainment blogger that had never been here before. Like, there was this guy that just had this look. I'm really curious if he was or if he's just like...
Oh, tonight?
Yeah. It just looked so out of place and was so like just camping out here. Like, well, you know.
Hey, Superman. That's something I like. Harmontown. All right. Okay, so I asked both Spencer and Adam the same series of questions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to present a question and the answer, and Kumail and Dan, you're going to say if it's Spencer or if it's Adam.
This feels like it should be the easiest game of all time. But I bet it's not going to be.
We'll see. All right. So let's go ahead and begin. The game will be done when it feels right for it to be over.
We're out of here then.
Adam and Spencer, try to contain yourselves.
Yeah, why are we necessary for this? Like to be
well,
effigies?
as a visual, so people can see.
Yeah,
Adam
visual for the podcast.
So the
yeah. For the Vanna White. For the live audience.
Spencer, read Spencer quotes and then have it be Spencer or Spencer.
What?
All right, I'll be back in a half hour.
Yeah, we don't need the visual. Thank you for.
Okay.
See you once.
Let's go ahead and begin, and it's not timed. You guys can talk it out and then give me your final answer.
Oh, we're fighting
against each other. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. First question: when asked, "What is your biggest fear?" Who said, "Being trapped underground for reals"? Biggest fear, who said being trapped underground for real?
I think I know. My guess would be Spencer, because it sounds like something Spencer would say. Also, because I truly believe Adam is without fear. That's not a compliment.
Right, Adam?
Sociopaths have no fear.
Ooh, lightning strikes again.
I mean, I agree, absolutely. I know that Spencer uses that colloquial apostrophe instead of a G kind of talking. The idea that he typed it is very charming.
All right.
Being trapped underground for reals.
He does have falcony qualities, you're right. There's something very graceful about you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That
is a compliment.
The correct answer was actually Adam.
What?
Adam said underground for reals.
No, you read a how-to guide on how to present as human, and then...
Humans die, right? I live in my castle forever, but that one will get them.
All right.
Tamp it down. You succeeded.
He's a worthier adversary than we had anticipated.
Okay, next question.
I confuse my V's and W's sometimes.
Next question. When asked to describe an embarrassing moment from his childhood, who said, "I called a lady fat, she was fat"? When asked to describe an embarrassing moment from his childhood, who said, "I called a lady fat, she was fat"?
Again, my guess would be Spencer.
Me too, yeah.
Because Adam clearly does not get embarrassed.
No, she was fat.
No, he's...
Wait, what's going on? What's your guess?
No, he's fucking... He's
am I messing
doing
with
that as a bit, yeah.
That is correct. It was Spencer.
Yay. I'm batting 100 so far.
Next question. When asked, you can eat three things for the rest of your life, what are they? Who said potatoes, rice...
And the souls of the unsullied? Adam Goldberg.
Okay, I'm going to give you...
I'm sorry. Could you read those?
Half credit.
The three things were potatoes, rice, pizza. Who, for the rest of his life, will only eat potatoes, rice, pizza?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go Spencer again because I know Adam's response to that question would be more complicated. I think Adam would say, "Well, I have a rare form of anemia that requires that I have insulin." He would, I don't know, something. It would be circuitous.
Yep. Of all the things you accuse me of, diabetes.
I didn't mean diabetes.
It's on a long list, but I did not see diabetes.
I just assume your diet is complicated, or that even if it wasn't, like that you would, yeah. I could see Spencer as being a simple child who just wants to bulk up.
You know what?
I love rice, pizza, and
First of all, who doesn't? But I feel like part of Spencer's appeal is that he can sort of... I really feel like there's something about you that is above us. But that's a compliment. But also your ability to sort of connect with regular, normal humans. This is all a compliment, by the way. You once said that you could have a religion, Spencer. So I will go with Spencer, too.
That is correct. It was Spencer.
Yeah. What would your answer have been, Adam?
I was considering a real answer about the how you can make a lot of cuisine with the same three foods.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See? But instead, wait, yeah, can you tell us the other answer?
You can read my joke answer.
Adam said dwindling fat rapidly.
Which fits the context of the question. Rewind the podcast and put my answer and the question together. It's pretty funny. It's a good one. I nailed it.
Check that out. Rewind. Enjoy that laugh privately.
Poor Adam. Adam has all this overlap with Spencer. Like they're both. I would say they're both above.
Yeah. Certainly.
But there's a. Like, I don't know what the difference is, but like Adam's jokes, like they rhythmically they land on the downbeat. Yeah. And then everyone's like, you can't dance to it.
Yeah, it's like trying to watch Edward Scissorhands shake hands, you know? Like, he doesn't have the tools.
But if when you listen to anything that he says, like if you listen
very
to that,
funny.
That interview that he did with the podcast cast and stuff like that, like Adam's like, you know, he's
out of sync with this plane of existence.
Oh my god, his image is flickering. Okay, next question.
Can I ask, why were you counting? What was going on?
I was trying to get to the rhythm. I was one, two, three, punch.
I do think it would involve him slowing himself down in some unnatural way, which is unfair.
It was very appealing for some reason. I don't know why I liked it.
All right, next question.
Daisy. We gotta go into Adam's brain and like slide out those like 2001.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dan.
Thanks for doing this, Adam. All right. next, I asked both gentlemen. You were just given a yacht. What do you name it?
This is good, Aaron. You did good.
Oh, you know how much I need that.
And you know how much I'd never give people what they need. The more they need it, the more I don't want to give it to them. So I really, you know, I really feel. You feel did like a good job on this game.
This game has no winners.
It's becoming clear that this game just has a loser, and it's not anyone who's playing.
Oh, thank God. I thought that by the start of that sentence.
No, you're not playing.
I know.
She is talking about you.
Oh,
I'm joking.
They give you a TV show.
That's
crushing my heart. That accent was on the downbeat.
No, Adam's answers are great. I'm not.
They're great.
Making
Adam's a very smart man.
Okay.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Who said when asked what he would name his yacht?
I love this.
Carl Rove. When asked what he would name his yacht, who said Carl Rove?
I think that Spencer knows who Carl Rove is, but I don't think he cares. I think Adam maybe is would be the one to try to make some point with naming his yacht.
Ditto. I feel like we're thinking exactly the same on all of these.
Well, that's yeah.
All right.
Can you tell us what the other answer was?
Oh. I can do that. The other answer was the USS Hubris. The USS
Shit.
Hubris.
That's what I'd name mine, by the way. So whoever said that should really be proud of themselves.
I'm guessing you're Hubris and he's Rove.
Correct.
Yeah. Adam.
Well,
that's fine, I guess. Yeah,
right.
So what were the final?
Well, we both thought that Carl Rove would be Adam.
Carl Rove was Spencer. Carl Rove was
Spencer. Wow. Why
Spencer?
It's
like the same title.
What do you mean?
As USS Hubris.
Oh, it's just like a rich guy's name.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a symbol of, you know, power and excess over others.
Which is what a yacht is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, right. Hey, you should come out to Carl Rove. It's funny.
Hey, let's go get drunk on Carl Rove.
Yeah, he's chained on the third dock or whatever. I don't know. I don't have Karl Rove.
Next
we're
going to
take Karl Rove out and do some E.
See, that, it's
Kanye's coming.
It's a great name. It's a great name.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. Let's go inside Karl Rove and...
All right, next question.
Let him finish.
Fuck. All right, continue.
I asked both gentlemen, if you could date any celebrity, who would it be and why? Who said, Jake Gyllenhaal? It would prove a theory of mine. Who said, Jake Gyllenhaal? It would prove a theory of mine.
I mean, that's gotta be Adam.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it's really funny.
It's very funny.
But it's funnier because she read it.
No, well.
No, the point. If I was reading,
no, I know.
Answers,
I'm saying it's
but
great.
It's, but it's funny in print. I mean, that's
yeah, it's great.
You are correct. That was Adam. Adam, what was your? Adam, what is your theory?
Jake Gyllenhaal is gay.
I like that in your head, just him being gay is enough for him to want to have sex with you.
Well, no,
you gotta get tired of beautiful women at some point.
The question is, if you could, what was it, date or marry, right? Well, in either case, the question grants the answerer God power.
Sure.
So I think the funny thing is that he would waste that power to be right about one thing about a celebrity.
Wait, there were more questions about dating. I mean, Aaron made the quiz, and it's very emotional, which is a mixture of romantic and emotional, and me slurring those words.
That is true. He doesn't want to use the power to have sex with someone he wants to have sex with.
He just wants to win an argument.
He wants to prove he's right.
Gotcha.
Call his friend Steve and go, told ya.
I would love it so much if this actually happened in real life. It would be the greatest day of my life, of your life.
And Jake's life.
And Jake's life.
The best pilot in the world, a single camera pilot, would be Adam Goldberg doing a reboot of Greatest American Hero, where Adam Goldberg gets the super suit. He's just a superhero, but he doesn't know. He just has these powers, and they're just watching how he would use them.
I'll save you. Right.
It would be kind of awesome that he rescued you, but then also
sorry. Yeah, the other guys. No, that was the suit. You're feeling the suit. That's the suit.
I asked both Adam and Spencer, if you could be any animal in the world for 24 hours.
24.
Which animal would you be and why? Who said some sort of a cool bird or jungle cat? Who said some sort of a cool bird or jungle cat?
Those are that's a wide response. Can I ask real quick who Spencer wanted to have sex with? What was his response?
I want to know too.
I passed.
Well, he passed.
What?
Why?
You could have chosen
because
the lady.
I just looked at this email and just shat out a bunch of answers.
He also sent me an email saying, if this is some sort of secret dating thing, I'm not into it.
I'm on to you. I got my eye on you.
You didn't tell him why you were asking these questions?
I said I'm comptrolling. Can you answer these questions?
Yeah, I thought that was a cover.
Okay. Going to scour the audience this look good to you?
You'd never do anything like that. Anyone that listens to your podcast knows you'd never just play matchmaker
or
anything.
That'd be weird.
Very upfront about that.
I would say jungle cat or birds. I would say it's Spencer because first I said you have falcony qualities about you and also jungle cat qualities about you. And also while we were all doing the Spencer voice, in the Spencer voice said, jungle cat or bird. So he knows it's Spencer, and I think,
unfortunately, I agree, too, as I have every time with Camille.
You're correct. That was Spencer. Adam said, does the animal die? I could fit a bird day into my schedule.
Oh. I thought Spencer's answer would be a human being.
Or something like how many hit dice does it have? Yeah. That's something that's valuable.
I know how many hit dice it has. Well, like,
boy, can't win.
And I know how much damage my katana does.
Any ladies in the audience get aroused when they heard that dice line?
Yup. Resounding yup.
Back to Minneapolis.
Don't you worry, Spencer. I'll get you married.
I said I'd have none of this.
Spencer, you could parlay your notoriety into so much...
Specifically, you and no one else might think that.
No, you have no idea. You have like a... Oh, my God. So many of
But he'd have to not be himself in order to
I know.
That.
Yeah.
That's audience, what's great. Under your
seat. He'd have to go from being a Spencer that was adored by people to... He'd have to cross that all-important line to being a guy that... What kind of creep does this? And the answer is many. Guy like, oh, so you enjoy watching me do that thing. Well, any way to get some pussy out of this? It's a hard line for a gentleman to cross.
But it's also, here's the thing, is that it's not just, she's getting something out of it too. She's getting to have sex with Spencer. It goes both ways.
But I mean,
you're not taking advantage of them.
But the same thing that's making him adorable makes it hard to talk to. It's like people are adoring the fact that finally on display is a personality that's very resonant, which is someone who doesn't normally, doesn't do that fucking tango in a one-on-one interaction.
My theory is that Spencer is secretly dating someone famous like Paula Abdul.
I'd like to live in how Kumail perceives me. Like,
that you seems could, amazing. Man.
I'd shoot lasers and shit kittens. And they'd still be enjoyable.
I say I get it because I watched the documentary footage, so I've seen footage of you interacting with women after shows on tour.
Did you see him introducing me to their boyfriends?
No.
That's good editing.
I've seen a handful of cute girls come up to you, get you to sign stuff, and be just as nervous as you are, and like kind of lingering and hanging out, and part the fratty part of my brain, wants to go like, oh, hit on her, but it's like. Then you wouldn't be Spencer, like, and she also it's like you're not I don't know. I have a weird love hate relationship with this idea of like, oh, Spencer, you should smash some puss.
I for one am totally over it.
You're over what?
I'm over the matchmaking for Spencer because he's punished me even when I'm not asking for it. it's a thing in our friendship.
Why don't you try and. Help Adam.
I could fit a bird day into my schedule.
That was great.
I also don't think it's like I don't think Spencer necessarily needs a girlfriend. I think if someone's autonomous and happy, they don't need to be with anybody. I'm
but
not
everybody
Yenta.
Everybody likes to have sex.
Well, I think that Spencer has sex.
You're right. I think the Spencerness of him. Would not be
He's
there.
He's right next to you.
I'm barely autonomous or happy.
only a few more questions, if not one or two. When asked...
We're having a good time up here.
Yeah.
The four of us.
I'm having a good time.
If there were a holiday in your honor, what would it celebrate? Who said courage? A holiday in your honor.
I don't know.
What would it celebrate? Who said courage?
Why would
also the name of my firstborn?
I'll just go Adam because
I think he and you see yourself as very brave. I think not that you're not.
Like you said, he doesn't have fear. You said he doesn't have fear.
You are without fear. Yeah.
And look what he tolerates up here.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
The man with no backbone.
Adam, in fact, said, my birth. It was Spencer who said,
Can I explain my answer? I thought at some point I was like, I should answer things that people might think Adam would say.
Wish I said courage. When I wrote My Birth, I was trying to write an answer Spencer might say.
I was gonna write myself, and then I changed it to courage.
This is amazing. You guys are trying to be each other and very accurate.
You should have read the whole questionnaire.
Yeah.
When asked what punctuation mark best describes your personality, who said an ellipses and who said an interrobang? When asked what punctuation mark best describes your personality,
interrobang.
No, I heard all that. I just don't know what an interrobang is.
It's question mark exclamation, oh. Question mark exclamation, that thing, you know, that people do, like, how is this happening? It's alternating question marks and exclamation marks to get, like, let me use
can,
it.
Can, in, it, can it be one pairing of them?
Yeah, yeah,
is that
yeah.
still an interrobang?
Yeah, yeah, you see it a lot on, you know, online writing. It's not like a proper, right. It'll be like...
But it's not like Beetle Bailey swearing. It's not like
no,
profanity.
No, no. That is called Grolix. Those weird, like, symbols. Those are called Grolix.
Dumb.
Do you listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Only when
that's
Bob
like an
on.
Answer on that.
Grolixes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can check out Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on
Tuesday nights at 9.
Who said ellipses and who said interrobang?
Well, now the jig is up. We got one guy doing an impression of the other guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if cares? That's true. Throughout. Who cares?
Meta.
just.
I'll say that Spencer did the interrobang. No, no, no. I mean, if he was going to answer honestly, I guess he'd be an ellipses. Spencer.
Spencer would be an ellipses.
He's thoughtful and reserved. Like, timing is king for Spencer. He's very, very restrained.
Yeah.
Adam, as we know, is just...
Everyone's reaction to him is an interrobang.
He's up on stage again!
Huh?
He's like Marmaduke.
Can I say something?
A successful movie?
It's just...
That was great.
Movie? No.
They made a Marmaduke movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm sorry. This is not going to play on the podcast or even to people here, but the fact that your toenails exactly match that guy's shoe color is... I cannot... I'm like staring at your toes.
Do they know each other? Do you guys know each other?
Isn't
no?
that crazy? Because it's not a standard color.
It's like cyan. Is that cyan?
Toenails that match. The
it's like a fuchsia. What is it? A fuchsia.
Turquoise.
Turquoise. That's right.
I describe stuff for a living. I mean, I don't make a living off of it.
Speaking of which,
all right. Wait. So I'll say interrobang is. What did you said? He's ellipses.
Yeah.
That's the accurate, and I'll say the same thing, unless they're trying to be each other.
Well, you're right. Spencer right. was ellipses and Adam was interrobang. Final question.
All right. Ooh, now we're tied. I'm assuming me and
you
Camille.
Are.
So
you
let's,
are.
Let's we'll go separate ways.
You gotta
great.
Split. You gotta
great,
split.
Great. Here we go.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna double this question. You'll see what I mean in a second. And then you'll have a better suggestion for how to word what I just said.
It'll be like his, the thing where you have to rewind to hear the joke from his. Remember the question? Go ahead.
I do.
I'm distracted by this.
All right. Well, this, you each are going to get two private personal questions.
What are they?
No, you don't get to give her questions.
Oh, no, I thought that her question was going to be, what are the questions? And then your answers would be questions.
And Terrabang?
We're going to actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. We're going to do a lightning round of four questions. And you'll just individually say Spencer or Adam.
So you'll give him, one will be directed to me and then to
yes.
him and then me and him. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
All right. First question, Camille.
Oh.
Who said when asked if a movie is made of your life and you could choose the actor / actress to play you, who would you choose and why? Who said Family Ties era Michael J. Fox?
I will say that's Adam.
That is correct.
Maybe really surprising if Spencer said that.
I saw you smirking.
It's a good answer.
Dan, when asked if you were a spy, what would your alias be? Who said Jimmy Bluffett? Who said Jimmy Bluffett?
Spencer.
That is incorrect.
Oh. I knew because he was slapping his knee at how hilarious Jimmy Bluffett was.
That joke's like tickling to me. I always laugh, even though it's no good.
Kumail, when asked what was your nickname growing up, who said Lumpy? Who said Lumpy?
Aw, come on. Lumpy?
Who said Lumpy?
Whose nickname was Lumpy?
Yes. When asked what
Get
was your nickname growing up.
Get ready to hurt someone
up?
No matter
I know, what
you say.
I know, what the fuck? This is not... Oh, God. Spencer.
That is correct.
Nailed it.
Wait, I'm not the asshole.
That's sad. I don't know why that's...
It's an Ed, Ed and Eddy reference.
Remember
it's a what? Last...
Ed, Ed and Eddy. It's a cartoon.
Oh, good. Oh yeah. Good Ed, Ed and Eddy. Yeah.
Dan.
Mine was Cum Pail. So.
Jesus Christ. Holy shit. I don't think I've ever...
All it takes is one genius kid.
Yeah, I'm sure that guy designs phones for Apple now.
Yeah, that guy's a genius. We get him on the cancer thing, we'll figure it out. Instead, he's just coming up with amazing, hurtful nicknames. I tried to spin it, too. I was like, oh, that means when I come, I fill up a pail. So that's good. And they'd be like, no, it means you are a pail of cum. All right.
I think it means you turned everyone on.
I tried to spin it that way.
Oh, boy.
You did not.
All right, Dan, final question. When asked, how do you feel about Dan? Who said, Dan Harmon is a genius and I will die defending his vision.
Protecting.
Unless Mitch Hurwitz calls. Who said, Dan Harmon is a genius and I will die defending his vision unless Mitch Hurwitz calls?
I mean, that was Adam or Spencer imitating Adam.
The other person said, really?
Oh, okay. So we'll go. Yeah, Adam. That was Adam.
You are correct. But Kumail still pulled ahead. The winner of the game is Kumail. Yeah. Thank you, Adam. Thank you for participating in this game.
Adam may need to stay because we have to play Dungeons and Dragons, and we need a Moran.
I played twice. I had a really good time. Congratulations, Kumail. That was wonderful. Now I get to... You started this with 5 consecutive insults that were really funny and 7 that were hurtful.
I thought even the hurtful ones were funny.
Okay, 12 consecutive funny insults.
Yep, thank you.
So I went away.
All right,
let's play some Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, let's make a lightning round.
Oh, wow, you have the music and everything.
Are you
I
ready?
Didn't expect
oh,
that.
Oh, you're not ready?
Well, I mean...
Should
we talk about race for a second?
I got this.
I want to say, I'm just making fun of you because it's like, you know...
Funny.
Yeah, because it's fun. Because it's fun. I don't mean to be hurtful.
It's fun.
Well, nobody's been more... Nobody's... The last couple weeks, and I always bring this on myself, but I have these moments when I'm like sitting around, and sometimes I'm actually crying when I'm saying to the Aaron, and I'm like, oh, God, I just want people to like me, and it just fucking hurts. That I fucked up again. I did it again. I like said some shit, and I was reading it in Variety headlines, and it's like, everyone hates me. And then I think of Adam Goldberg, how does he do it? He comes. He there's no point where Adam has ever gone like, you know what? Fuck this, and like stormed out.
It's like a roast. It's from a place of. You know, don't make me finish
own,
it.
It's from a place of institutionalized racism, and
yeah,
I am fine with it coming from on the stage. For all the people on the Harmontown.com forum and Reddit /Harmontown who dislike me, I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you, have a great life. Stay away from fires. Stay away from bands that are near fires. I'm having it great out here. I'm loving it. I'm loving life.
All right.
When we last met, our heroes had just finished mastering the basics of their seasonal armlets. And after discussing their new abilities, the gang decided to free Sharpie's father from the demon-occupied Yellow Camp. Krista Berg became invisible and then attacked one of the demonic taskmasters, and Mulrain put a sack on top of a bedroll. And then nothing else happened. I stacked dice for a little while and didn't really pay attention to the topics. That's all.
All right.
So I made the
Spencer, everyone.
You can't even make people clap for Spencer.
Spencer can't even make people clap.
Does somebody said Spencer, everyone? I was wondering what he
said.
Yeah,
he said Spencer, everyone.
And everyone was like, we love Spencer, but Adam says it.
Something as basic as just abracadabra. And the rabbit falls out the bottom of the hat and dies.
Yeah, but where did the hat come from?
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for and everyone's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, we love Spencer.
My hands are tied from applauding. I made the executive decision, a random decision to have, because you're comptrolling, you're playing Quark, you're playing Jeff Davis's character, Aaron, and then Adam is playing Mulrain.
All right.
I don't know. It just made sense to me, but.
All right.
Yeah, so last week, Kumail, my dad was playing your character, and he used your ability to turn invisible and stab the crap out of a demon.
You have a dad?
Yeah.
That is amazing. In my head, there was a truck driving of melons, and it fell off, and then you came out of it.
That's what I tell people, yeah.
In that Terminator pose?
Yeah. Like, fully formed.
You just stood up naked and then went into the nearest, like, L.L. Bean and grabbed a flannel jacket.
And then went to an Apple store.
Yeah, I have a dad.
I need your boots, your jacket, and your iPad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Anyone want to do stuff? Do you need more explanations?
Oh, are we fighting? I'm sorry. We're still fighting.
Yeah, when we last met, you stabbed a demon. That kicked off the fighting, and then people kind of... You talked about stuff, right, Aaron? And you and Jeff came to an understanding. Right?
Did we?
I don't know. I was stacking dice.
Sure, we came to an understanding.
Come on,
anyway, that's all that.
Let's play the shit out of D&D. Let's just start attacking everything. Let's just start. Let's make Spencer feel like.
If it was Kumail's turn last,
all right,
let's put it in Dan's turn.
Okay. Yeah.
I start casting offensive spells at everything. Scorching Ray is coming up.
I apologize for his offensive spells. He didn't mean them.
Scorching Ray on the nearest enemy.
All right. Let's
make him happy this week.
I'm having a great time. I'm having a great time.
Forgive us for not knowing when that's the case.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Hard to
I'm
tell.
Really hard to read.
Hence
I'm upset.
The game.
Anyway.
Last 40 minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that happened. You casting your arms in a magical manner. You loose forth several bolts of fiery bolts. Dealing 17 damage to the lead demon.
Nice. That's how you do it.
The demon twists around and surveying Chris DeBerg, who just stabbed him in the back. He flips about and smacks you with his whip, but not the end of it, just kind of the handle of his whip, kind of like a pistol whip. Like a whip.
A whip.
Yeah. Like a whip. And he hits, dealing 3 damage.
Yeah, all right.
It happens.
That sounds about right. He's
putting it at Mulrain. No, Quark's turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mulrain, may we have a moment?
Absolutely, Quark.
Nobody's ever said that to Adam before.
That's you're just really, really, the rule of three has expired. You're now just kicking the corpse of expectations of Adam Goldberg.
All right, I get it. No, good.
Yeah, fine. Hey, how about have you said Lady in Red yet?
No, I haven't
said it. Okay, you got 14 more. You got to get through the quota.
All right.
See, I'm being mean back. Doesn't work.
Oh, that rabbit. That rabbit's dead.
I don't think they understood that you were trying to be mean. I thought that was part of the issue.
Fair enough.
Mulrain.
Mulrain here.
This is hard for me to say, but I'd like to have a moment.
Yeah, I heard you the first time. Yes.
you're so clever.
Don't get shitty to her. Just be shitty to me.
I'm being shitty to his character, as you would.
Welcome to the show, Hollywood Reporter, whoever Hollywood Reporter.
I hope
reporter.
You all die in a fire.
Mulrain, I've written you this letter on this water skin. It explains how I've been in awe of you our entire adventure. And it also explains this deep connection that I believe we have, and I want us to form an alliance, if that's possible.
Mulrain,
if you'll have me.
Mulrain considers this. Mulrain remembers coming back to the woods several planes ago and finding you hip deep inside her most beloved friend, Coco, and then says...
Right, I can't control it.
Why not, buddy?
I'm only good at one
no, that's
thing.
No, that's it. You can't counter my internal monologue. I just... Mulrain has a kind of grin on her face and says, yeah, you're my best friend ever. Adventure.
Adventure. Is that you doing my face?
No, I was doing what the caricature of my face is.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, I give you this water skin, and then I see that Cork has a power bracelet.
Yeah, it increases his strength.
Okay, I put on my little power bracelet.
Okay.
I see that I have ghost sound.
Yes.
Can I throw the ghost sound on the other side of
can
the...
Can you blame it on the dog?
How does... Can I do the ghost sound and then take my knives and throw them at the bad guy?
You can't do both. You have to pick one.
All right, I'll throw my knives.
All right.
But I'm making the ghost sound in my heart.
In your heart?
Is that like a ventriloquism thing? Is that what the ghost sound is?
Yeah,
you can throw your voice?
It's a minor sound-based illusion, so you can make like a dog barking or like a rustling or a twig snapping. Love anyway, it. We're actually throwing knives here, but with the ghost sound in your heart, you loose forth a dagger from your pack, and it hits, critically so.
Ha-ha!
Deals. That's 3 plus 7 damage.
All right. I wink at Mulrain as to say, this is the beginning. This is the new beginning.
All right. Yeah, use your strength to throw knives. I'm going to duck in there, get on the other side of a Christaberg, and just start slashing at it with my sword. The fact that I'm distracting the demon will allow you to sneak attack it and get some shots in.
I mean, be careful.
All right.
Great. No, I got your back, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your attack bonus real
quick? I am at +8. Oh, at 1d8 crit is x3.
That's pretty good, but not enough to hit, unfortunately.
All right.
You that's do okay. manage to menace the demon, and he's kind of occupied dodging your blows.
You won't defeat the Four Seasons so easily.
If you talk, it gives away your position.
No, I'm drawing attention to you, so you can stab him in the back.
Great, yeah, of course. All right, so while he is sacrificing himself very courageously, I take out... what's my strongest weapon that I have?
Probably,
a poison dagger?
Yeah, probably that.
Oh, yeah. I go to town. I'm like puncturing lungs and shit.
Going to town, puncturing lungs and shit, you plunge your blade deep into the demonic heart of the demon. That's what they have. Dealing 10 damage.
All right.
The demon clutches his demon heart and falls to the ground before dissolving into a black powder.
And I point to him the way they do in basketball, to the whoever passed the assist.
Point it back. Point it back. Could have been you, Cork. Could have been you.
You're standing amongst like a bunch of chained slaves at this point. They look at you now that you've
slaved. Wait, did we kill all the enemies?
You killed this enemy in this area right now. There's some enemies still around, but they're going to take a bit to get to you. So in the brief moment.
Oh, let's free some slaves.
Yeah. They start cheering and they're like, yeah, down with the demons.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about.
I cast...
slave free.
Headline.
Four score and.
I was also gonna go with an Abraham thing. Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing you think of.
I'd hope so.
When you were kids, when you learned that Abraham Lincoln, when you're like a little kid, like fifth grade, and they would say Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves.
Did you think they were in a container and you just opened it? Yeah.
Like I picture, because we knew what Abraham Lincoln looked like, because you see him in the outfit, you know what it was like. I really would picture him like, I thought it was like my mom would be like, he freed the slaves, and I. Like, you're a kid, you don't know that has anything to do with a document that he signed. Oh, yeah. You, like, picture, like, this big, tall, skinny guy dressed in this funny hat, and then he, like, actually went. I would just picture, like, he, like, unlocked the chains.
And the thick of night, and people are like, wait, is that the president?
Free to go. Come on, guys, get out of here.
I really did,
We got us a war to win.
I was like, what is a slave? We're a very enlightened society. Pakistan doesn't have a history of slavery, so not a big deal. It's not a big deal at all. I mean, presently, we're doing horrible stuff, but... Brown. If you have a Google alert for Pakistan, it's the saddest thing every day. It's true.
Well, maybe one day you guys will have slaves.
Oh, I hope so. Okay, we're at Sharpie. Let's ask if any of these guys know where your father is. That's why we came back here, right?
Yeah, well, first we want to free him because there's other monsters here. So let's capitalize on their
passion. I
hope
I have some
extra
weapons. I'm not giving them my bow, but I could give one of them my sword if he looks healthy enough to fight.
Can we sort of do that Daenerys thing where we free him and you're like, you don't have to fight for us, but you can if you want to.
That's definitely the angle we're going to play.
Yeah. We want them.
I mean, it'd be real cool if you did. I mean, we did free you. But,
but your
call.
Freedom is yours. Let's do it.
Yeah, you begin setting to work, unlocking the binds on these slave guys, but as you free like about three or four, you hear like a slithering from behind, like you might be approached by more people pretty soon.
You guys free the other slaves, we're going to deal with this. Yeah, sounds like a good plan, Quark.
Solid plan.
Yeah, I like this.
But we don't command them to do it. We go, if you want to free them, you can.
Right, you don't, we'll pay you to free the other slaves. Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of like to go headstrong towards the noise.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, whirling around, you see a large pit in kind of the center of camp. It seems kind of freshly dug. And there's like a bubbling, slimy sound as like several of these slimy humanoid creatures pour out of the hole and slithers towards you slowly, like slugs.
Man. Well, maybe we could be... Are you guys good guys or bad guys?
They go...
Bad guys.
Not good.
They form a wall of oozing flesh.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's gross. Demons, man.
What's the wall blocking?
It's blocking the pit that they came out of. I mean,
no one wants to go there. Yeah. It's like flies on shit. I was like, guys, don't get up.
We're gonna go the other way anyway.
You know, like you walk past a turret and the flies are like, whoa.
Yeah, this is ours.
The hills. Like, guys, really? Yeah. Stay put.
Yeah. You're safe.
If I ever did stand up, I'd open
that.
That
is the one place you're safe.
No one's gonna swat you.
Being in a turret, may.
Jeez.
They're still coming towards you, kind of threatening.
The wall is coming?
Yeah, it's a wall composed of several individuals that are kind of like oozing together, like they don't, they're like oozy.
I take both of my torches and I light them and I start walking back, like I start going back and forth, but facing them just to keep them away. Like,
drawing on your religious knowledge, you realize that demons are typically resistant to fire.
Right, so they don't want to. Oh. So
I'm just saying.
Aha.
All right.
I want to use my amulet of spring to summon my thorny vine armor, which it says I can command to stop protecting me and lash out to entangle a foe.
Yeah.
So I want to do that immediately.
All right. Summoning forth the season's vine.
Amulet of spring. Birth of rebirth. Thorny armor. Protect and surge.
A
Vines burst forth from the ground and wrap themselves around your arm before launching off said arm towards the wall of flesh composed of the many oozy humanoid demon things.
Let's see Charlie Sheen do that.
He couldn't string together that sentence.
It begins entangling the foes, and they seem to have their forward momentum halted. It'll take them a while, but they seem like they might be able to free themselves, but it buys you valuable time.
All right, let's tune in next week.
Oh, is that it?
That's good comp trolling.
That's it.
That's 10 o'clock. Yeah. 5-2.
I'm sorry, I fucked it up.
It's okay. Why not to end? Everybody say, yay, Dan!
Yay! Yeah. And Adam! Yay, Adam!
Yay, Adam! Yay, Spencer! Thank you, Kumail.
Thank you,
Dan, for comptrolling.
Let's thank Mars Argo for coming
by. Mars Argo, Titanic Sinclair, and Mars Argo. Thank you, Nerd Melt. Everyone, be nice to each other. Comment on each other's work positively.
Or don't, but use your pain to create more happiness. That's all that's required.